Hey, welcome tonight. If you're new tonight, glad you're here. Glad you're here. Hope you feel welcome, and like this might just be home. And we're expecting that that is what God will do for all of us, is that we would all find our way to Him and to home. And as Micah said last week, we are just people that are wanting to give back so that more of those stories like Nick can just continue to happen, where people are just being honest and vulnerable, letting God move. And the way we give back, just in a small way, is through these KFC buckets. And so if you are a new person here tonight, just let that bucket pass. It's not for you, but for those of you who call this home, this might be a great opportunity. So if you guys wouldn't mind grabbing that bucket, and maybe would you mind grabbing that bucket? We got one over here. We'll start passing those. yeah, and in the same way, I really think what Nick's story does is it kind of preps us now to understand that it's just a visual reminder of what a soft heart looks like and what God does with a soft heart. And we have been in this series about soft hearts leading up to tonight. So I got to start with a story tonight. I was really the epitome of what you call a big fish in a little pond. Have you ever heard that phrase before? I was the star basketball player for Great Lakes Christian College, which I tell people is one step above eighth grade girls. It's really good stuff. And one of the perks of being the captain, and yes, I was the captain of the basketball team, was that you get a key. Some of you, I hope all of you, were given a key as you walked in tonight. Is that true? Got one with you? Well, I was given a key. And this key opened West Lansing Church of Christ, local church there in town. And I got to open that key. It was given to me because maybe the basketball team needs a little extra time, a little extra practice, and a little extra opportunity to get in the gym, work on their shot, do some things like that. So that was what I was given the key for. And so I would open this thing up, and I was given responsibility, and I was to oversee it and make sure that everything was going to go fine. And so that's what I did. Well, pretty soon, I mean, this key got put on my keychain, and I just treated it as if it was really my key, and it was part of who I was. And so I would begin to get a little bit lax about letting other people use it instead of just me. And so I would let other people go in. Well, one day it really backfired on me because I let some guys in there that I had hung out with and that I had played basketball with in town that didn't have as much respect for the church as they probably should have. And so their language was a little bit rougher, and they were not quite as, I guess, just respectful. And wouldn't you know it, there was like a elderly women's tea or something going on down the hallway, and these guys ended up having basketball turn into hallway dodgeball, which there were a few F-bombs dropped, and the word gets back to me that this unruly bunch was going on making a stir. And I had a conversation with the pastor of that church, and I thought it was really good. You know, sometimes you have these moments with people where they actually say something and you're like, yeah. He said, just because, he wasn't really mad at me, he was just kind of coaching me about, this is just a life lesson. He said, just because you hold the key doesn't make it your key. Just because you hold the key doesn't make it yours. In other words, you have some responsibility with this key. With key comes privileges and comes responsibility. I want to take a peek into our scripture tonight. And I'm just going to read it, and then we'll get back and I'll explain it later. All right, chapter 16, verse 13 says this of Matthew. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do the people say that the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah, And one of them said, a prophet. But what about you? He asked. Who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you're Peter. And on this rock I'll build my church. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. And from that time on, Jesus began to explain to the disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he would be killed, and on the third day that he would be raised to life. Peter took him aside, and he began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Let's just pray, and let's just ask God to let those words sink into our hearts. God, I think there's a lot of truth in this text here tonight that we need to internalize. I pray we'd have open hearts tonight. That on this last night of our Soft Heart series, we would have the softest of hearts. To let you do something. To invite you to do something within us. To speak into our hearts, into our lives in a way that maybe you've never spoke before. And we trust this, and we ask this, in the name of Jesus, amen. So Peter and the other apostles are walking along, and Jesus is like, you know what? Let's go to this area up in the north part of Israel, Caesarea Philippi. And he takes them kind of on a journey, and they go to Caesarea Philippi, and he waits until they get there to kind of talk to them about a certain topic. Now, you need to know a little something about Caesarea Philippi. It's a weird little town that had a lot of foreign gods' roots in there. So there's a number of different gods that claimed that this is where their origin was. Pan was one of those gods. And so out of all of the things that are going on and circulating and ideas and a very religious city, there is one thing in town that stood out more than anything else. It was this huge cave. I happen to have visited there. I've seen this cave. Maybe we can even take, I think we'll just jump to that. It's like, you have to skip over a scripture and then we'll get to, yeah, there you go, you got it. David, you're awesome. You see this cave, it's got this big mouth to it and it's open and it's scary. And when you stand in front of it, it's very intimidating. And you might see that there's this water in front. I'm not sure if it's exactly coming from that cave or not, but I do know this, the Jordan River, which flows all the way through Israel, which gives life to all of Israel, stems out of the mouth of this cave. It boils up from within and it kind of comes out. Now you can imagine, it's a pretty scary sight for a lot of people, and there's a lot of, in a town where everyone's thinking about religion and about gods and this and that, people firmly believed that Pan lived on a throne in that cave way back in the recesses of it. And that any scary noises that they would hear, any things that would really freak them out, any of the things in that town that was just unexplainable, it's Pan in the cave. And it even was so intense and so real, and this is really a disturbing thing to hear, and I'm sorry to say it, but it's true, is that there was a season where people would take a child, and make a sacrifice of that child, and they would go down to the mouth of the cave, and they would throw the child in just to pacify this god. This is what's going on, and this was referred to as the gate of Hades. It kind of looks like the gates of Hades. It's got that feel. And so anyway, that's good. We got that visual. And so this is where Peter's at. We can take that down so I don't get blinded by it. Oh, yeah, perfect. And And Jesus is walking along, and he's in this town, in this area, and he asks a question that you should never ask anybody. What's the word on the street about me? What are people saying about me? Don't ever do that. Okay, that's a bad, bad idea. Don't ever set yourself up for asking your friends, so what's my reputation? Can you let me know? Jesus asks these guys, and he asks Peter's one of the people he asks. He says, so what's the word on the street? We're visiting this place where everyone's talking about gods, and we have all this God stuff, and you know, on this corner was this God, and this corner was this God, and this whatever. What are people saying about, what's my God cred on the street? And they speak up, and some of them are like, you know what, some people, honestly, they think you're like this reincarnated Old Testament person, or this other reincarnated Old Testament person, or maybe you're John the Baptist, who's still kind of recent in their minds, and maybe you've come back to life as him. They said, well, what about you? Who do you say that I am? And then Peter says, you're the Christ, or the Messiah, or the Savior, and you're the Son of the living God, not the dead God, the living God. Like, you are the embodiment of the living God. That's who you are. And Jesus stops and says, that's right. And this is what he says. This is the verse. I really want to hone in on two verses tonight. The first verse is right here. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood. In other words, this isn't revealed to you by man. There's nobody that could have told you this. There's no way you could have known this from within your own self. This isn't some kind of man idea. This was revealed to you by my Father in heaven. Peter had a soft heart. We've been talking for 5 weeks about all the distractions that keep us from being soft-hearted. We have ways of being hard-hearted, thinking about ourselves, thinking about the relationships around us, and we're not thinking about the people around us. We've covered that. For 5 weeks, we've talked about different ways our hearts have been hard. Education, worshiping the wrong things. When you have a soft heart, this is what happens. When you have a soft heart, God speaks to you. That's just really what it's about. And God gives you a very clear message. He gives you a very simple message, and he gives you the same message as he gave Peter. It's the same message. Jesus is the Savior. He's the Lord. He's the Son of the God that's alive. That's the message. And you believe it. And when people believe that with all of their heart, he says, that is what I'm going to build my church on. Now, we got to stop for just a second and have to understand what that word. He says, it's upon this confession. It's upon this idea. It's upon this idea that God comes into you and he gave you something you couldn't get on your own. That thing right there, that's the key to the kingdom of heaven. And with that key, you got responsibility and you got privilege. And it's in that moment that he said, it's that idea that you are going to be able to share with other people. Because now that you have the key, you get to help lead other people to a soft heart. And you don't have to convince them. You don't have to convince them that there is a God and that there is a Jesus and that he is the Son of the living God. God will do that for them, and then they'll have a key too. And it passes on. Because that word church there, he says, and it's upon this confession that I'm going to build my church. And you and I have this really warped idea of the word church. We think of something with a steeple on it. And this word church is ecclesia. It's this word gathering, this group of people. He says, it's upon this group that it's just going to grow, and it's going to grow, and it's going to grow. Nothing's going to stop it. Peter, you're the first one. This is the first time that this is actually being revealed. I am the Savior. I am the Messiah, Son of the living God, and you are the first one to hold the key. And in a lot of ways, some Catholics, maybe some of you are Catholic here, believe that Peter was the first pope, and he was the first one to like be in charge of the church. But I think as we really look at this word ecclesia, we can see that it's passing this key to many other people. And he says some of the same very words in Matthew 18 to his entire disciples, not just to Peter. And they pass this on, and they pass this on, and they pass this on. And he says nothing can stop it. Once this starts rolling and we start building, there's going to be people upon your shoulders that are going to get the key from you. They're going to pass the key on. They're going to pass the key on. They're going to pass the key on. It's going to grow, and it's going to grow, and it's going to grow. And he says, and you know what? As they're standing at that river, not even the gates of Hades are going to be able to stop it. That's what he says. Makes a little more context when we understand that cave that was right there. Nothing's going to stop it. The most obvious things that are in your face today, disciples, that thing that is right in the backdrop as I'm talking to you, that everyone's scared of, that major thing, let me just tell you, that's not going to stop it. There, we are here on campus. There is a major thing in the backdrop, and it is the library. It is your professors. It is the classes. And if Jesus was walking with us today, I think he'd ask the same question. What's the word on the street of who I am? And you guys can fill in the blank. Well, he was a good teacher. He was a hypocrite, some people would say. There's a lot of, you ask people on this campus who Jesus was, you're going to get a lot of different answers. But he's going to ask you the same question. But what about you? Who do you say that I am? And if you have a soft heart, I believe that God is going to speak to you, and he's going to reveal to you the same thing that he revealed to Peter. A very simple thing. Now, churches are going to argue about all kinds of goofy stuff. There's going to be all kinds of disagreements about complicated doctrine and theology. But I'm telling you that the most simple thing that Jesus really cares about is, do you believe that I'm your Messiah, I'm your Savior, Son of the living God? And if you believe that with all of your heart, there is freedom in that, and there is opportunity for that to grow. And I think that that is the exact same thing that he would say here. And he says, and not even the doors of Milner Library are going to stand against it, or whatever, in our backdrop, that it might be the loud thing in our culture. As we move forward in this text, Jesus starts talking about, okay guys, now that you know that I'm the Messiah, I got to give you some details. I'm going to die. I'm going to suffer, and I'm going to die. But don't worry, I'm going to be raised to life in 3 days. And Peter, who just got the greatest compliment in the whole world, right? Saying, hey, Peter, upon this confession, I build my church. Peter, you've got the key. You got the first one. Here you go. Good job, Peter. This was revealed to you by God and not by people. You're listening to the Lord. Awesome job. And it's as if they took 2 steps away from that, and as they're walking away from that scene, Jesus is like, and now, guys, let me tell you, on our way home, let me just talk to you. As we're going to Nazareth, let me just tell you something. I'm going to die, but don't worry, I'm going to raise from the dead. And Peter gets, he gets livid about it. And it says that Peter, and this is the words it says, rebuked Jesus. That's another thing I don't recommend you do, okay? Hey, Jesus, I'm gonna have to call you out on this. So buckle up. And he just starts rebuking Jesus for saying that he's going to die. That's not the way it should work. I don't believe that you should do it that way. And then Jesus says this to him. This is the second. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. He actually says right before that, he says, get behind me, Satan. 1 minute, he's being praised with the greatest compliment of all time. And the next minute, he's being called Satan. And I want to point out the distinct difference between the two phrases. Jesus is super clear. Super clear. The first, you are being praised because you had a soft heart and you allowed the Father to tell you something that's true about me. Hang your hat on that, man. Hang your hat on the fact that I'm the Messiah. That's awesome. And then he gets toe-to-toe with Peter, looks him dead in the eye, maybe chest-to-chest, and he says, don't you ever tell me what to do. For right now, you've got concerns of man, and you don't have the concerns of God. Be careful how you use this key. You've been given a key, but just because you hold it, Peter, doesn't make it your key. It doesn't make it yours. My Father still holds the keys. And you get to be his key holder. But you got to listen to what the Lord is telling you in this life. And so what does that mean for you and me in this culture at this time? Oh, man. It means this. A lot of you have the key. A lot of you have listened to the Lord. You've been revealed something from God that says, yes, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And once you got it, you couldn't separate your experience from your culture. And you want to leverage what you know and what you felt with your political views, with what you think is fair, with what your background might be and what your history might be. And there's a lot of people that say, you know what, we can't do church that way because I experienced Jesus this way through a church. Hey, you know what, there's a lot of different churches. And God works in a lot of different ways. Yeah, but it should be really fair, and this isn't really fair. Hey, you don't know what fair is, maybe. Your idea of fair is really built into your culture, and if you went to the Philippines and you saw how the way things work there, you'd say, that doesn't look fair. They would say the same thing about you. What's fair? Not a lot's fair. But holding this key doesn't give you the right to leverage your particular bent on the world. And I actually even wrote a few questions down that I've heard over the years, different statements that maybe people have said over time. I just got hung up. Questions like this say, where we almost feel like we got to rebuke Jesus. And we just like, are you sure, God? You're rewarding them? Or there's sometimes in my own life, I can't send my kids to that school, God. I think you're making a mistake. You can't expect me to live off of that income. You can't expect me to actually forgive her, can you? You can't expect me to serve with the service team on campus while I'm enrolled with school full time, can you? Here's what I had to learn, guys. Way back in that situation, when I was in college and I had that talk and that reprimand from that pastor, I needed to take my key. And I know it's kind of a silly thing, but I needed to do it for me. I needed to move it on my keychain to a different keychain. You know how the janitors have like all the different hoops on their keys, right? Some of you just have one. I only had one at the time. And so I put my key on that one circle on that one keychain, and it just felt equal to me. I got my car key, I got my house key, I got my apartment key, I got my church key. But there was something different about this key. I was the holder of it, but it wasn't mine. And so what I did is I made a separate key chain that clicked onto that. And I used it to go off to the side. So it just kind of would remind me as they would just kind of open them up in my hand. Here's my keys. And this one is, I'm the holder of a key. And I've got to tell you tonight, I know there's some people in this room, you've never really let Jesus you've never really let Jesus in, or you've never really had a soft enough heart, and you've never really asked God, God, I dare you to tell me and reveal to me the truth about this guy named Jesus. I'm going to dare you tonight. And if that happens for you tonight, where you just feel like God is speaking to you and he's giving you the key, hold on tight to it. It is a good thing. It is an excellent thing. And I need to tell you, to entice you, to let you know this isn't a bad thing, I need to tell you my own experience with the key. I wish I had more money. I think there's a key out there that might be the key to financial success. If I would like that key, wouldn't trade it for this key. Wouldn't trade it. There's probably a lot of keys out there for, I don't even know, for happiness or success or whatever that might be. I wouldn't trade my key to the kingdom of heaven for any key out there. It's that valuable to me. And for me, the image I get is I get this image of that church, and I think, you know what, if I had a master key in that church and I could get into any room and I could, you know, I could get in the AV room and we could watch a movie, wow, that'd be awesome. Or we could go down the hall, we could get in the gym, we could play. And I've also got a key to the back closet so Phil Lopez can bug me and get the volleyball equipment out because he likes volleyball, and we're going to set up the poles and we're actually at volleyball or whatever. And there's this, like, all this freedom in the church. But think about the freedom if you were locked in that church your whole life and you had a key out. That's really what I see the kingdom of heaven. It's a different thing. It's a whole different thing. It's a whole different experience. So what if you've got wealth? You're just in another room here. The kingdom of heaven is awesome. And if you've never experienced that or you want to, I just dare you to ask God, God, would you help reveal that to me? I got a soft heart tonight. Help me to see it. Help me to feel it, that Jesus is real, that he is the Savior of my life, and that he is actually the Son of the living God. And upon that simple confession, God will mound up more and more and more of the ecclesia that we see here gathered tonight. The second group of you tonight that already may have received this key, that know you've had a soft heart, and at one time you can just remember the moment, you can tell me in detail what it felt like and where you were, and maybe you were at home, or maybe you were here, or maybe it was early in the morning or late at night, you're praying with somebody, I don't know, you know the details, when God actually spoke to you and you remember that moment when you got the key. But if you're being honest, you really want to leverage that key for your political position. You want to leverage that key for what you think is fair, and you want to leverage that for what your experience has been. And whatever experience you came from, you're going to be partial to that. Just know that. And that's okay. But just know that. And if you're like me, I'm just going to ask you to do something with your key tonight. I'm going to ask you, first person, I'm going to ask you to just put it on your keychain as a reminder of, man, God, will you speak to me? But the second person, that this has already been a part of your life, I'm going to ask you maybe even physically to find a separate little keychain and put it on your keychain as a reminder to you, just like Jesus needed to remind Peter right away, good job, you've received the kingdom. Get behind me, Satan. You're an idiot. We need that. We need that reminder. It's his kingdom. He calls the shots, but we hold the key. Let's stand. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing. God, tonight's just a simple message. It's a simple proclamation that you really are Jesus. You really are the Son of God. You really are the Savior of the world. I believe that. Because of that, you've changed my life. That simple statement has changed everything for me. It's changed my direction in my life. It's changed everything about me. It's changed my entire outlook And God, I am praying tonight that as we sing these next few songs, we would take very seriously this icon that's before us. You work mightily through imagery. And there's nothing magic about these keys, but there is certainly something powerful about us handling this imagery with significance. And we're going to ask tonight, I'm just going to ask God that if there are people in this place tonight that have never really heard, received, or felt you as a father to them, talk to them, and just reiterate the truth of who your son Jesus is, I pray you do that tonight. I pray in these next few songs that would just happen, that they would feel it, they would hear it, they would listen to that voice of God, and their soft heart would let in that message. And for the rest of us, I pray that we would be willing to give up our prejudices and our experiences, because you know better than we do about how to use this key. Give us courage and boldness where we need it. Give us humility in other areas where we need it. And help us to sort all of that out as we worship and sing to you at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.